Psalm of David, Psalm of Integrity. One of the things that I hope you aspire to have is integrity. And I've compared this with other translations, and it seems consistent in the English being translated from the Hebrew integrity, the word. Notice here what David says. He says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity." Let's make sure we understand the difference between arrogance and integrity. David is not saying, "I have walked in my arrogance or my pride." He's talking about his integrity. And what does that mean? Let him define that. He says, "I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." Integrity is based in trust. Not only is it based in trust in the Lord. Notice verse 2. It's based in the examination of the Lord. He says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart." Now, the examination here is a challenge, because if you take tests, tests are supposed to be a challenge, correct? You study, you prepare yourself for that test. But guess what? Do you pray for wisdom? Do you pray for integrity? You should. And if you do, are you prepared to take the examination? Because the Lord's going to try you. That's what David says here. He says, "I've been proven. Examine me." That's a scary prayer, though. I want to, again, be honest. You ever got to the point in your life where you said, "I think I'm going to quit praying for wisdom"? I've had about enough of that for a while. Well, don't. Don't grow weary in well-doing, right? But nonetheless, let's be in people of integrity. Watch what he says here in verse 3. "For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth." Notice the awareness of David. He says, "I have walked in thy truth. And as I have walked in thy truth, I have seen the loving kindness of God." Can we not say the same? You think about those outside of Christ, those that are outside of God. They can't even identify with what love really is. And so it's up to, again, us, those of integrity. Do you have integrity? That's the question. Watch what David continues to say here. Integrity, again, is defined by not sitting in the seat of the scornful or walking with sinners. He says in verse 4, "I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord." Now, integrity. I might have to make a phone call and find out who I'm in fellowship with, or decide whether or not it's the right place for me to be. If this is a place of integrity, if this person is a person of integrity, I do not want to sit with vain or empty people. What does the word vanity mean? It means emptiness. It means not. It means nothing. It's a waste of time. And the Lord does not want us wasting our time. He doesn't want us wasting His time. He says to redeem the time, for the days are evil. So we have to, again, consider integrity. We do not walk with evil, wicked people. Now, doesn't mean we wouldn't love them with the love of the Lord, but that doesn't mean we would walk with them hand in hand or in fellowship with them, right? Paul said to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So we have to, again, realize what integrity is. Are you a person of integrity, or do you walk with the evil? Are you double-minded and unstable in all your ways? Are you a hypocrite? We hope not. Are you a person of integrity? Then as we kind of summarize and finalize here, watch what he says. He says in verse 7, "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." The person of integrity is not quiet. The person of integrity, the Christian, believes in the power of God, which is the gospel. We believe in it. We live by it. We're not ashamed of it. We proclaim it. You know, one of the things that is just a fact is that God's word is true and it's practical. What do I mean? What do we mean when we say that? You can do it. And if you do it, it will bless your life. One man will be satisfied with one woman. One woman will be satisfied with one man. As God said, he can be happy and satisfied. It's practical. Things like that. God's word is practical. And that means it's true. So we can be blessed by it. And so why would we not publish it? Are we a people of integrity? So again, notice how then David says, I have loved the habitation of thy house. We could talk about services, not forsaking the assembly, where thine honor dwelleth in verse 8. The principle again for today. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. And here he's wrapping it up. He says, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. I still appeal to the mercy of God because I know I am frail. David knew he was frail. I will fall short, but I lean upon his mercy, his loving kindness. I have seen it. I have experienced it. He loves me and he loves you. And therefore I will continue to walk in mine integrity. Now that integrity, I want to say, is not based upon my own righteousness. I could not be righteous without God. The word integrity from the Hebrew, now's the definition and now's the conclusion. Now is. For those grammar Nazis. Is based in God. Is based in his righteousness. The word integrity from the Hebrew means whole. It means complete. And really what David is saying there is he is complete. He is whole. And he could not be whole or complete without God, right? But look at what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. We could develop an entire series of lessons on how we are made righteous in Christ. And yet we walk in our own righteousness, but we are not without his righteousness righteous at all. In verse 16, we know this passage very well, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now watch it. Here's the reason. Verse 17, that the man of God may be what? King James says perfect, complete, mature, righteous, a man of integrity. And I like the way he finishes, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's how we are people of integrity. You cannot be a person of integrity if you do not know his word. If you do not read it, you do not study it, you do not meditate upon it, you do not apply it. This is what makes us whole and complete. That's why it is thoroughly furnished to every good work. It's a matter of doing it, putting it to practice, work, so that you can be perfect. And so again, that's why it goes back to the gospel, which is the power of God and salvation. When a person hears the gospel and they are convicted, that's a good thing. It's what the gospel is supposed to do. It's supposed to judge the very intents of our heart. It's supposed to cause us to want to do better, to see the love of God, to see Christ, and understand why he died. And when one hears the gospel, they're convicted. The gospel says change. It says repent. Change your life. Live for me. Follow Christ. The gospel is the power. It's what will make you complete and whole. And then a person that believes it and desires to repent says, I want to change. That person will indeed confess. The word is homologia in the Greek. It's an interesting word. Homo meaning same, logo meaning word, same word. We say the same word. We speak the same things. And there is no difference amongst us. That's why there cannot be different invitations, different gospels. There cannot be different churches. Homologia, confession. You are confessing the same thing they confessed in the first century, the same thing we confess today, that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. And not only that, we confess the same doctrine, the same message, the same gospel. There's not a different gospel. A man that perverts it should be cut off. Are you going to confess that? You should want to confess that so we can be in fellowship together and know that you believe. And then obedience of faith is consummated in baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Buried in water to arise to walk in a newness of life. buried as Christ was buried, but Christ did not stay in that tomb, and you will not stay in that water. You will come out as Christ came out of that grave, and you will now walk in a newness of life, and that is where your sins are washed away, contacting the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel makes you whole then. You are a complete person, and you can now walk in your integrity by His law that will perfect you and make you complete so that you are a person of integrity. Are you a person of integrity? We hope you are. We hope that you'll continue to read and study your Bible. If you're ready to obey the gospel and you know what you need to do, and tonight's that night, we're here to help you make that decision. If as a child of God, you know that your integrity is in question and you're not walking in integrity, take the Bible and examine it. If we can help you come out of that and help you walk in integrity, we need people of integrity. Brethren, the church needs people of integrity. And we can do great things. What will your answer be? The invitation of the Lord is now offered. As together we stand and we sing, would you come?